gifts for the poor, chapter 4, first halacha. Now we'll be discussing leket. Leket are stalks that fall from the sickle when someone is reaping, or they fall from someone's hands while they're gathering. And here we are talking about if one or two stalks fall, but if three or more stalks fall at the same time, they belong to the owner. And if they fall after the sickle is pulled back or one's hand is pulled back, they are not leket. Second halacha. One who harvests without a sickle, anything that falls from his hand is not leket, unless the crop is usually gathered by hand, in which case something that falls would be leket. And if someone is scratched by a thorn and therefore drops things, those are not considered leket. Third halacha. If a farmer is harvesting stalks in his field, and he has harvested all of the stalks in his immediate area other than a single one, if by bending that stalk over he'd be able to get at it with his scythe, it is his. Otherwise, if he's gone too far, it is considered leket. And by the way, it is not considered shikha. Fourth halacha is based on the last one. If he has accidentally left not one but two stalks, and one which he could reach with his scythe if it was bent over and one which he cannot. So if that one's right next to the other one, then the one he is able to harvest saves the other one, and they would both belong to the owner. Fifth halacha. If the sheaves of grain belong to the owner and a strong wind took them and scattered them amongst the leket, we would estimate how much leket there is and give that to the poor. So that would be four kaven in an area in which a kor would grow. A kor is 75,000 square cubits. This is estimated as 1,626 grams within 75,000 square cubits. Sixth halacha. If there was leket on the ground that had not yet been collected, and then the owner made a grain heap on the ground, everything touching the ground would be leket, and everything not touching the ground would be considered the owner's. Seventh halacha. The prior halacha is rather stringent. The seventh halacha asks why. And the answer is because the owner shouldn't have made a grain heap amongst the leket. So this is a penalty. And the penalty applies even if the grain heap he made is a different type of grain than the leket. Still, whatever is touching the ground would belong to the poor. Eighth halacha. If the person needs to fertilize his field before the poor are able to come in and collect their leket, otherwise he will face a loss. If the loss that he would face is greater than the loss to the poor, then he may fertilize. Otherwise, he may not. But if he wants to be extremely pious, he'd collect all the leket and place it on the fence. Ninth halacha. All grain kernels found in anholes, if they're found in an area of standing grain, they belong to the owner. If they fall in a place that has already been harvested, they're leket. Tenth halacha. If a single stalk of leket becomes intermingled with the grain heap, he would separate two stalks. One would be considered leket, and the other would be considered a tithe. And since he does not know which, he would make a stipulation. If this one's not leket, it's a tithe, and so on. 11th halacha. One may not hire a worker and then have the worker's son walk behind him and collect the leket, even if the worker is poor. Sharecroppers and the like may, however, do this. And a worker may, on his own, let his children and wife come and collect leket after him. 12th halacha. It is considered stealing from the poor to allow a single poor person to collect the leket, none others, or to help one of the poor people, therefore at the expense of the others. The leket is ownerless. 13th halacha. It is obviously forbidden to have wild animals on one's field. That'll scare the poor people away. If there are people who are not entitled to take leket among those collecting, the owner may rebuke them if he can. If not, he is permitted to let them collect. 14th halacha. If someone wants to declare his leket ownerless, which would mean anyone could take it, not just the poor, if the majority has already fallen, he would not be permitted to do this. 15th halacha. There is something called peret that we've already spoken about in the first chapter that is also a type of leket, and that is one or two grapes from a cluster that remain behind when someone harvests the cluster. If there are three grapes remaining behind, they are not peret, which means they're not leket. 16th halacha. If while harvesting grapes, a cluster gets tangled on the leaves and falls and becomes divided into individual grapes, that is not considered peret. But if he throws the cluster to the ground, any individual grapes become peret. A person who puts a basket under the vine at the time of harvest is stealing from the poor. 17th halacha. We've also already discussed oileles. These are underdeveloped grape clusters that should be left on the vine for the poor. This refers to a small cluster that is not thick like ordinary clusters, and they don't have a kasef or a neitfeis, and we will define those in the next halacha. 18th halacha. Kasef refers to small clusters connected to the central stem, and neitfeis are grapes connected to the center stem and hanging down. As we said before, it would have to have both in order to be considered oileles. If there is a doubt, it should be left for the poor. 19th halacha. The owner of the vineyard does not have to harvest these and give them to the poor, rather the poor can come and take them. 20th halacha. If there's a regular cluster on the branch of a vine, and there is an eilalas in the same branch, if the owner can harvest them both at the same time, the eilalas is his. 21st halacha. If the entire vineyard is eilalas, then it all belongs to the poor. 22nd halacha. The poor may not take either peret or eilalas until the owner begins to harvest. He has begun to harvest once he has harvested three grape clusters. 23rd halacha. If he consecrates his vineyard before he becomes aware of any eilalas, then they do not belong to the poor. Otherwise, they do belong to the poor, but the poor would be required to pay for any increase in value caused by their growth during the time they are consecrated. 24th halacha. If a person is pruning his vine, if he cuts off grape clusters, he may also cut off eilalas. Pruning is different from harvesting, and we actually ran into a similar concept before in the last section. 25th halacha. If a non-Jew sells his field to a Jew to harvest, the Jew must leave the eilalas. If the Jew and the non-Jew own the vineyard in partnership, then the Jew is required to leave the eilalas from the portion that belongs to him. 26th halacha. When someone gives the tithe portion to a Levi, while it is still tevel, meaning before truma has been taken from it, if the Levi finds eilalas amongst the tithe, he should give those to the poor. But if they could be harvested with the clusters, then the Levi should give them as trumas meiser, which is the tithe that he must give to the kehanim, and he would be giving that for other crops. 27th halacha. If a person has five vines and he harvests them all in order to eat the grapes, he is not required to leave peret, shitcha, and netar revai. We will discuss netar revai later, but it refers to produce of the fourth year of a tree's growth, and it must be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten in a state of purity, or exchanged for money, and then the money would be used to buy something in Yerushalayim that would be eaten there in a state of purity. In any event, he is required to leave the oilolos, but if he was not intending to make wine, he would be liable to do all of those things, unless he left a portion unharvested.